Second. Amen. God had a word for him, but it was just for him. Thank you, God. Don't you love it when God talks to us? Many ways God can talk to us. Best way is through his word. Thankful to get into his word this morning. Are you? Amen. Word transforms. Goes deeper, right? It's like a double-edged sword. Not a single-edged sword, because that'd probably hurt more. Double-edged sword. Goes deeper than bone and marrow. Gets into the soul and the spirit. His word is alive and it's active. His word is truth. Not relative. The truths of the day, it outlives all generations. It outlives every generation. The Bible says that we're supposed to teach the generation after the generation his word. We're supposed to pass it on to the next generation. It's supposed to be upon our lips. It even says on our foreheads, right, on our doorposts. It says it's got to be everywhere in our lives. With all the stuff that's going on in our world and our own lives, man, you can't rely on much. You can't even rely on you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's true. Then look at your neighbor and say, man, that's hurtful. Truth will set you free. There's only one truth. It's God's truth. It's not to beat people up. It's not to condemn them to hell. It's not to make them feel terrible. It's to set them free. It's to love them. To show them a better way. I'm thankful for this guidebook. Man, where would I be without Jesus? Probably in somewhere. Well, I wouldn't be here. Some of y'all would be dead. Some of y'all would be in jail. Some of y'all would be a mess. Even worse than you are now. Okay? Right? Thankful for God's word. I love to be reminded of God's word. Not because, just because it's for me, but because it's for all people. Never forget the moment that you were saved, right? Never remember that moment you were transformed. Never forget that moment that you were transformed by his love and his grace and his mercy. And never forget that moment that you were forgiven for all the things you've ever done. Never forget that moment, because there are people that have never had that moment. We get too proud in church and we forget what it's like. I pray that God humbles us all. And we get back to that moment that we know that we're not above all, but we are set free. And there are people that are dying, lost, and hurting that need the word of God. Even if it offends the flesh, I'm thankful for that. Even if it offends CNN, because we know that's true. ABC, NBC, CBS, whatever. Even Fox News. Some of y'all are like, okay, that is heresy. Heresy. My name's Harris. Don't curse my name like that, okay? Seriously, where are you getting your truth? What are you relying on? What are you letting your mind, what are you letting sink into your mind? What are you letting things settle to your soul? And you start building your foundation of your truths and your beliefs, right? Sometimes God's got to tear down the walls and break up our foundation and shake everything up. And we got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to the truth. And we got to rebuild things, even our own mindsets. Put on the helmet of salvation, right? Even if you have to take off that Trump 2024, put on the helmet of salvation. Seriously, we rely on things that will not outlast us. Get into the Word. Follow the Word. The Word will outlive everything. It'll outlive America. It existed before America. America needs the word. We need God-fearing people in positions and authority all over. We need God's word in schools today, especially in the public schools. You know, somehow I'm praying for divine intervention or divine favor. Even if we got to say this is let's put this in the schools. And you don't have to call it God's word. That's fine, because God's word can transform whatever you want to say. Maybe we'll just call it ancient literature. Right? You can get around that. Like, I'm praying for God's favor. Like, somehow can we read this and call it ancient literature? Because you can read it, you can study it, you don't have to believe in it, but it slowly will transform you. And then there's a time, right? There's planting seeds. Man, we got to plant some seeds. Right? And then God's going to water it, right? And somebody's going to bring somebody to church. When's the last time you brought somebody to church, church? I see you every week, right? When's the last time you sat next to somebody I never met before? I'd love to meet them. You know I love people. I'd love to meet them. Man, we need seeds. You got to be some water. God's going to bring that harvest, okay? God's doing things. We're living in a good time. This is a good time. You think, oh, it's a bad time. No. The badder it gets, the better it can be. Right? The darker it is, the more the light will shine. That's how that works. Your flashlight don't work at noon, but at midnight? Okay. I'm ready to preach. Okay. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Welcome to First Open Bible. I'm the lead pastor here, and sometimes I get up and get crazy, but when I was worshiping, I was just talking to God, because a lot of times, as much as you like it or not, I don't know if you're people pleaser or not, I as much as I don't want to be, sometimes I do. I don't like it when people are mad at me. I just don't. Nobody does. Like, oh yeah, I want to make somebody mad at me today, right? I can't wait to make somebody mad at me. But when it all comes down to a church, you got to please God above man every single day. Even the people closest to you, right? Even the people that you love, right? Even if, I'm not saying this happens, but it could happen, and maybe it has, but even offending my wife, if it's God, I got to do that, right? And same thing with my wife. If she has to offend me because she's following God, good for her. Even the greatest relationships, you have to follow God and only be afraid of him. Fear God, not man. Okay? Fear God, not man, in all that you do. But fear God, love man. Okay? You've got to love man. We got a bad stigma in church that we're above things, right? The lost don't want to come in here because they think that we have it all together. And if only they could peel back that Sunday clothes you have on and see the truth, right? But there's a stigma out there that people don't want to walk into the church because they're going to be judged. That can't be First Open Bible. I don't want that at all, right? You know, we're not even supposed to judge non-believers. You know that? You don't believe that, you probably don't know the word. The word says you don't judge non-believers, but we're so judgmental. You know who you do judge? Believers. They're acting a fool, their life's a mess, and you're too, whatever, scared, afraid to speak truth to their life? You're not being like Jesus. I'm going to get off this in a second, and I'll start preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, read it. My wife, she was so on point on Wednesday. It was an awesome, awesome word. If you're not coming Wednesdays and you can, you are literally missing out. I mean, it is so good. My wife had an awesome, awesome time on Wednesday. We're in the fellowship hall, and you get free snacks, okay? I don't know why, but we never talk about tithe on Wednesdays, but you can give on Wednesdays too, but like, there's free snacks, man. It's cool. But anyway, a lot of them are homemade, which is super awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to read that this week. Read that this week and see where we stand, right? Love, people, fear God. Amen? 2021 is over. Praise God. It's a new year. There's new things. Grace, mercy, and forgiveness in 2020 new. I read this book from John Mark Comer. It's Loveology. It's been transformative in my life. Loveology is the theology of love, and from God's point of view. This is the last and it's the final Sunday of this series and this theme. We've been breaking down what love is all about. We've learned what Scripture has to say about God, love, singleness, marriage, sexuality, and relationships. By the way, I don't know if you're visiting today, but never go to a church that's not talking about things that are going on today. God's word is relevant all the time, every single day. If they're just talking about good little cute Bible stories, but they're not transforming your life and speaking to where you're at, you got to find somewhere that will feed your soul, that will get into your word, that will get you in places, that will shake you up and change you. There's not a single soul that we read about in the Bible that meets Jesus and leaves unchanged. That doesn't happen. That shouldn't happen. It can't happen. You didn't meet the right Jesus. You met a figure of Jesus or a thought of Jesus or an idea of Jesus. But when you meet Jesus, you're transformed. And so you should come to church and meet the Word of God, which Jesus is the living Word, right? And when you meet Jesus, you meet the Word, you be transformed. You got to go to a church that will transform you. If you got to sit in your seat and it feels like there's a little fire under there, you know you're in a good place. Amen? Hot cross buns, one a penny, two a penny. Okay, you know the song. Everybody play that on the recorder. Okay, all right. Anyway. Man, this has been an amazing series. God thought this whole thing up about love. He has a lot of amazing things to say about it. If you haven't been here, which is sad, but you're a regular attender if you attend one out of every 3 weeks, which is crazy. But when I was a kid, man, you're drugged at one of the three services a week. That's how they used to do it, right? But if you haven't been here and you've missed it, go back, watch some of the series. It's been 2 months. There's been, every week has been powerful in a new and different way. You can watch on Facebook or YouTube. We'd love for you to go back and rewatch it if you already have been a part of it. But God has cool things to say. It's great to go back and remember what God spoke to you. Now, church, I know life at times can be really disappointing and heartbreaking. It can be scary and downright just evil. But God is still God, and His love still transforms people. And His love still transforms situations. That's truth. The cross and the tomb, they're empty. That way our hearts and our lives can be full. You got your word today? Please open it up to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. You got an E or a tree? Open it up. John chapter 18. While you're doing that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's in the beginning of the New Testament. You got to go a little further than halfway. Keep on trucking. You'll find it. John chapter 18. I want to ask you a question while you're doing that. Do you love Jesus? Back when Christ walked the earth around 2,000 years ago, He chose 12 unlikely men to change the world. Something powerful about men loving Jesus. These 12 men were called disciples. What does that mean? It means a follower or a student. They walked, they talked, they learned, they observed, they laughed, they cried with Jesus for 3 to 3.5 years. Oh, to think that God is still pulling people out of crowds to do the same with Him today. He's still doing it. He's calling people like you and me and saying, follow Him and study from Him in ways that we should go to bring heaven here on earth and show others that there's still good things that happen today. To show a lost world of God's great love, His matchless love that transforms everything that it touches. Do you love Jesus? One of my favorite disciples of Jesus, his name was Peter. I can relate to Peter. What do you mean, oh yeah? Oh yeah. He was loud, he was proud, okay. Where's your, oh yeah, okay, okay. And sometimes he gets into trouble. Peter was very bold, and he mostly didn't care what others thought about him. And he led others that way. But Peter also knew that he was not perfect. He knew it. Peter is a leader, and he loves Jesus. We can only imagine how Peter must have felt the final days of Jesus' life when they unfolded, devastated, that his friend had been killed on a cross, that the Savior of the world would die right in front of me. I can do nothing. And disappointed that Judas, one of the other 12 disciples, man, he turned his back to the Savior of the world and did what he did. And Peter was heartbroken that Rome had seemingly won, that the religious had won. And they used Rome to do it. But Peter, perhaps Peter was most saddened that he had denied Jesus three times when Jesus needed him the most. We all know the pain of discouragement that comes by our own foolish choices. We also know the discouragement of things outside of our control. So praise our God for his hope. We know that hope comes from knowing that Jesus is faithful, even when we are not. Jesus loves us, and he loves us back to wholeness. Do you love Jesus? Next week, it's April. Cray, cray, what happened to March? I have been 40 for 1 week and 1 day. I said something to somebody at my party. I was like, so you just come over and bring like ibuprofen now? Like, well, how does this work? We just like lay hands on each other because we're like aching and pain going on. And your clothes shrink in the dryer too? Man, I could eat anything like 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Now I eat something, I become that. It's weird. Bonbons are good. Okay. Next week. Amen. Can I get a bonbon? What? Okay. Next week. It's April. That's crazy. It's crazy, but it's true. It's coming. And we're going to have a new series titled, This Changes Everything. And its tagline is, Resurrecting Hope. Life's greatest challenges are best faced when we have the hope of Jesus' power and we have his presence living in our lives. This morning, I want to dig into that truth, that the love of Jesus can restore hope even after the greatest disappointments in our life. One of the greatest challenges we have in our life and that we're going to face in our life is how to handle relationships. Learning to apologize and forgive are some of the most difficult tasks we can undertake in our life. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, will you forgive me, please? See, that's not so hard. That's not so hard. You're welcome. Let's get the ball rolling. You got to call somebody today. Will you manifesting on the phone? Will you forgive me? What'd you say? Oh. You speak in tongues, man? Translate it. We need translation. What's going on here? Interpretation over here. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? I was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. You forgive me. One of the most difficult tasks that we can undertake in this life. Why? Because you have to stop being so prideful. By the way, that relationship is more important than that fight. Lay it down. Lay it down. Give it to God. That person will never satisfy you, no matter how many things they say, no matter what they do. They will never heal your heart like Jesus can. Forgive them, lay it down, and let God heal it, and move on with them. That relationship is more important than that fight. Man, when we experience brokenness between husband and wife, parent or child, or even between friends, it can rob us of the hope for what that relationship could look like in the future. The story of Jesus' resurrection speaks to these challenges in our life as well. As Jesus was being arrested and crucified, almost all of his closest friends, all of his disciples, deserted him. They feared for their own lives. They turned their backs on the Savior of the world. Let's read about Peter. John chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. The other disciples acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Poor Peter. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching at the gate. By the way, just to highlight, how cool is that? That a lot of times we think that women didn't have positions and women don't have authority and women don't have places and things like that, even in old Bible times, and sometimes that leaks into now. This woman was watching the gate to see who could go in with the high priest. That's pretty cool. I just saw that. Anyway. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. She had the authority. The woman asked Peter, "You're not one of those man's disciples, are you?" "No," he said, "I am not." All right, jump down to verse 25 now. Meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by a fire warming himself, they asked him again, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "No, I'm not." But one of the household slaves of the high priest, check this out, a relative of a man whose ear got cut off by Peter, right, asked, "Didn't I see you there in the olive grove with Jesus?" Again, Peter denied, and immediately the rooster crowed. Peter betrays Jesus by denying that he even knows who Jesus is. After 3 years of ministry alongside Jesus, Peter carelessly refuses to remain loyal, and he denies connection to Jesus. No, I don't know him. Mm-mm. I don't know that guy. Three different times Peter is questioned about his connection. Each time he distances himself from the Savior. Just like Peter, our lives can be a confirmation or they can be a denial of our connection to Jesus. This morning, there are many of us who can think back over the past weeks, days, months, years, and we can point to thoughts, words, and actions that hurt the heart of God. Been there. In the hearts of the ones around us. Like Peter, many of us, time and time again, live as if we don't know who Jesus is. We break trust, we speak harshly, and we hold hate in our hearts. I want to tell you a quick testimony, not because I'm trying to build myself up. If that's what this is about, I don't want to tell it, but I just want to give you an example of how easy things can be. You know, telling people about Jesus is only weird if you make it weird. It's only hard if you make it hard. It's only strange if you think it's strange. I don't know, Penny, I don't know if you're here or not. I invited her, maybe she has to work. But I went to the Dollar General right down here. Got to get a few things, probably snacks. Dollar stores are the best for snacks. You know it. But I was going down there and I was getting... By the way, snacks are so expensive right now. Oh, my goodness. I thought about walking around giving a sermon and getting an offering so I could just pay for them, but this plan. I get paid a set amount. Doesn't matter how much you put in the offering. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. But I'm in Dollar General, right? And the lady that's checking me out, her name's Penny, and she starts talking, and I, just the way I am, I like to talk to people and like to get to know them even if I have 10 seconds, right? Favorite color, secret sin, right? Just help me. Tell me something about you, right? And I was like, "Hey, Miss Penny, how you doing?" She's like, "Good, good." I was like, "How's your day going?" "It's going great." You know, I can't remember how many days. She's like, 6 days. I'm clean from smoking. I said, "Oh, praise God, Penny. That's awesome." I said, "How?" And she's like, "Beep." You know, scanning. Like, this guy's got a lot of snacks. Okay, so she says, "Beep." You know, scanning. It's like, "How'd you do it?" "Oh, I went to this hypnotist." Now you can get all religious for a moment if you want to. That's called an opportunity, church.
Don't get all religious. Jesus didn't go, oh no. I cannot believe you're filled with demons in your life. I can't associate with you. No, that's literally, he's like, hey, you got demons in your life. Meet me. We got to talk. Time for a relationship, right? So I didn't get all religious. And I was just like, oh, cool. Yeah, you know, oh, that's interesting. It's interesting. I said, Penny, like, I don't make it weird. Have you ever tried Jesus? You ever tried Jesus before? Sorry, Jay, I am going to use you here. And I said, because you know what? That might work now, but what happens when it doesn't? Have you ever tried Jesus? I said, I have a friend. He goes to church with me, and he smoked. He tried to quit so many times. He smoked. And there was one day that he met Jesus and the power of God in his life, right? She said, beep, all I want to do is get these snacks in the bag, right? Beep. But she's listening because I'm loving her with God. And I said, and he met Jesus, and he came up and he put his smokes on the altar, and he was crying, he was hugging his daddy, and he has never smoked since because God took it away from him, and it was so cool. And I said, have you ever tried Jesus? And she acted like, I don't know who Jesus is, right? Jesus is like, he's Spanish, right? No, she's like, Jesus, no, I don't know Jesus. And I gave her a card and I said, hey, you call me anytime, I'll pray for you. Anything you need, right? I didn't give him a, you know, Pastor Harris card. I gave him a church card, right? Hey, we got a lot of church cards. Hey, you know, try that. And I said, right before she checked me, I said, Penny, I'm gonna pray for you tonight before I go to bed, and that you're gonna keep not smoking because that's gonna save your life. And then she goes, yeah, and look, they're $8 a pack. And I was like, Penny, you got a good point. You can't even use your name to buy those, right? Miss Penny. Should have been Miss Benjamin or something to get those things. So, don't make it weird. Like, I don't care if there's 50 people behind me, right? As long as she's scanning those snacks and I'm not laying hands and making all these people wait or whatever. She's scanning the snacks. She has my attention. I'm the customer. And aren't I always right? That's fine. I've worked in grocery stores. You ain't always right. We got to pretend that you are because we want your money. That's the only reason why we think you're right. Okay. Buy our groceries so I can have a job. Okay. But don't make it weird. Don't deny Jesus and the opportunities that you have to say the name of Jesus. Don't make it weird. It's not weird. It's not weird. Now, this is a sad fact. Some of the most unloving and difficult people I've ever come across in my life have been people within the church. She wants me to say it again. Is this where your seat gets a little hot? Only if it's from the Holy Spirit. Sadly, unfortunately, some of the most unloving and difficult people I've come across in my life, this is truth, have been people within the church. There's this guy, author and speaker, Brenneman Manning. He once said this cool quote, and I think DC Talk had this in the song as well, right? So you know it's gonna be good. Can I get a beat? Right? I'm definitely not gonna do it as cool as them. But here's the quote, it's really, really good. And the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. End quote. We must ask ourselves, what does my life say about my connection to Jesus? Church, do you love Jesus? Maybe your life has left a trail of destruction. You might have a history of broken relationships that has left you without hope that it could ever change. The good news is Peter's story does not end with his denial. And our story does not have to end that way either. Will you go, and now you're in John 18, will you go down to John 21, chapter 21? I'm going to read the first few verses here, John 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. I love that. This is how it happened. Like, Listen to what I'm saying. Like sometimes you think, oh, that's is this literal or not literal? Should I take this? Like this guy's saying, take it literal. This is how it happened. Verse 2. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. That's a good group of people. That's a good portion of the disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they said. So they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing, church say nothing, all night. Now these verses give us one of the first post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to his followers. Following Peter's denial of Christ and the death on a cross, the Bible says that Peter and the others, they go back fishing. Isn't that just like us? Put that on speaker, they need to hear this. Isn't that just like us? We feel pain, we feel shame, we feel frustration, sorrow, confusion. We feel like nothing's going right, everything's a mess, so we just go back to our old way of living. Okay, here's a worse one, in my opinion. Maybe it's not worse, it's just as bad. Or things aren't going good in your life. So you come to church, you meet God, and you meet God's people, and you get in the Word, and life starts going better. So then what do? Life's good. I get out of the church again. I get out of God again. And then you deny Him again. Until things get bad, and then you come back again, and we see you again, and meet you again, or whatever church that you go to, and then God gets it back again, and then things are going great, and then you go, I don't need Him anymore, until it goes bad again. Jesus was never meant to be a life preserver. He is the life. Truth in the life. Many of the men who Jesus had invited to follow him during his ministry, they had a background as a fisherman. In case you wonder that in society it felt like they were like the lower class, right? Like maybe not necessarily lower class, but like the roughnecks, right? Like your concrete people, like your garbage men, like your construction men or whatever. Like a lot of people equate that, like they're rough and maybe they just got out of jail or whatever, you know, like whatever we classify them as. They're fishermen, and that's Jesus used like half of his disciples almost for them that changed the world. Don't you judge nobody. So these fishermen, they left their nets because they believed that Jesus was going to make them fishers of men. And they believed that Jesus was going to lead them into restoring the world that's the way that God first intended it to be. But after their leader had been killed, they decided to go back to what they always have done. They went back to fishing. Not only was that fishing trip that they just took somber because they were mourning the loss of their friend, they were mourning the loss of the Savior, but they also remembering their betrayal. But verse 3 tells us that their nets were also empty. Let's keep reading. John 21, I'm going to start in verse 4. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" Like he don't know, right? "Have you caught any fish?" He's like, "Ah, Father, you got that right? We know." They didn't catch nothing. "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side." Wait, your guys' right side is this way. Right side. "Throw it out on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." Okay. Tried the left, so. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Verse 7. Then the disciple Jesus loved, right? Is John arrogant or is he just confident? He teeters that line a lot, right? He doesn't even say John, right? The disciple Jesus loved. He said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic because he stripped for work. He jumped into the water and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooked over a charcoal fire and some bread. Surprise! Jesus shows up on the shore of the lake where they were fishing, but they did not recognize him. But Jesus recognized them. The beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus, he is the one that initiates restoration and hope. Do you love Jesus? Jesus comes to the shoreline and calls out to the boat. As soon as the disciples recognize that it was Jesus who told them to fish on the other side, and this miraculous, huge, amazing catch they could barely even bring in, Peter immediately leaps into the water and swims to Jesus at the shore. Why does Peter respond so drastically? He didn't even help his friends. Like, hey! Why does Peter so quickly get in the water? Here's what I think. Why Peter wastes no time leaving that boat. Peter is filled with hope that his relationship with Jesus can be restored. Peter is saying, it's not over yet. Not over yet. You know, Jesus' grace restores our hope, church. If you feel like you've made too many mistakes to be forgiven, if you feel like you've lost hope that God could ever love you this morning, I want to invite you to see that the Savior of the world has come to the shoreline of your life, and he's offering you hope. He's offering you restoration right now. I want to tell you a story. There's this incredible preacher. His name's Charles Spurgeon. His nickname was the Prince of Preachers. Pastor Stevens, I think, really loves him, right? He talks a lot about him. He's an incredible preacher. And Charles Spurgeon, he actually tells of an evening when he was riding home after a hard day's work. He felt weary and he felt depressed, when suddenly he thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "I think it is, Lord. I think it should be, Lord, right?" And he bust out laughing. What? He said that it seems to make unbelief so absurd. It was as though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled about drinking the river dry. And the river said, "Drink away, little fish. My stream is sufficient for thee." Or a man way up on a mountain saying to himself, "I fear I shall exhaust all the oxygen in the atmosphere." But the earth might say, "Breathe away, O man, and fill thy lungs ever. My atmosphere is sufficient for thee." Church, the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that all of our broken relationships can be restored. That all of our mistakes, all of our shortcomings can be covered by the grace of God. It is more than enough to fill us with hope again. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, it is sufficient for us, but it's not something that we can do on our own. It is when we recognize that Jesus has pursued us, he's called us out, that we're prompted ever so quickly to respond with our lives. So Peter, right? He jumps in, right? He puts on his clothes and he just jumps right in. And he swims 100 yards. He gets to the shore. There's a fire burning and Jesus is cooking some fish over the coals. I can imagine Jesus' loving smile as he welcomes the man who recently just denied him at the table to come and eat with me. "Peter, come. I got you some fish. Let's keep reading verses 15 through 19 in John 21. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Verse 16, Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "I take care of my sheep," Jesus said. Third time, he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Verse 18, this is Jesus talking. "I tell you the truth, when you were young and you were able to do as you liked, you dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death, what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." After they had finished eating along the shore, Jesus begins a conversation that started out, well, a bit uncomfortable. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Certainly, this is being asked because not long before this, Peter had given every indication that he did not love Jesus. So in the Greek, we can go deeper, right? English is pretty weak when it comes to the depth of our words. But in Greek, they have four different words that describes love. When Jesus asked if Peter loves him, he says this, "Do you agape me?" Now, agape is a word, it's the kind of word that, the kind of love, right? It explains love that is selfless and sacrificial. It's the way the Bible authors write about the death of Jesus. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me like that?" Peter responds by saying, "Yes, of course I love you." But he uses a different Greek word for love. He uses phileo. Phileo is a brotherly love. It's affection for one another, but it is not the same. It is not as deep. It is not as powerful as agape. Jesus asks this question three times to Peter, and Peter responds three times back. With each question, Jesus is resurrecting Peter's hope in Peter that there is a relationship that can be restored. Each one of these three questions is a reversal of Peter's three denials. Praise God. Peter responds to each invitation from Jesus as honestly as he can about his love. Jesus loves sacrificially in agape, but the best Peter has, the best he can do, is to have a love that's conditional in phileo. And Jesus accepts Peter at this level. He accepts your love at that level. That blows me away. I did nothing to deserve him. And all I can do is give him all the love that I have in me, which unfortunately is conditional. Now during this conversation, Jesus' invitation ends each time with a call to action. He says, "Feed my sheep." Or Miss Katie, "Feed my lambs." Miss Ariana, "Feed my lambs." Feed my sheep. Essentially, Jesus is giving Peter the opportunity to demonstrate his love for Jesus by serving others. The Bible tells us that Peter indeed remained true to his call. You can read in the book of Acts, you can read in a couple other books in the New Testament, that Peter ended up giving his life to serve the church. He gave his life to feed the sheep. Now, church, hear me on this. A love for Jesus is proven by a life living for Jesus. And Peter's love for Jesus is proven in his life living for Jesus. So I want to ask you, do you love Jesus? My favorite thing about this conversation at the shore is how Jesus finishes the discussion. He invites Peter, as he did at the very beginning, to follow him. This is very important. It's an important truth for us right now to see this very morning. Every one of us is invited to follow Jesus initially. We are also invited to trust him with our lives and become his followers. But even when we fail to remain faithful, the invitation remains the same. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" You say yes, then come and follow me. This morning, Jesus' question to you this morning, for you right now, where you're at, or whenever you're watching this online, this is his question. Do you love me? Now, if the answer is yes, then you got to live like it. Because if you're not, the answer is actually no. But if the answer is yes, you got to live like it. You have to live like it in how you love other people, how you serve the world, how you serve the church. And we have to follow God's commandments. Your version of the commandments, not what you want, not what you say. Grace covers all sins. It does. Until you abuse it. Not what it's for. Now, if the answer is no, Jesus says, imagine Jesus standing here today, and he stands here and he looks right into your eyes. You're brown, you're green, you're blue eyes. Looks right into them. He says, "Do you love me?" And you say, "No, don't." Well, through confession of your sin and an honest repentance with your heart, we can allow the grace of God to wash over us and over our hearts, and we can be filled with affection for him. But first, we have to ask him for that. I don't. You teach me how to love you? Will you teach me how to follow you? Church, there's no disappointment. There's no discouragement. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8 tells us that in verse 38 and 39. It says, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fear for today, nor COVID, nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation can ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So I want you to know that you're valuable to God. And he will forgive you of your most selfish sins that you have. We need to reflect on the ways that we've neglected to love and honor God. I just want you to know, here's a little secret. There's not a soul in here that has not neglected God. There's not a soul in here that has not denied God in the sense that you know you were supposed to do something, say something, or be something, and you didn't, right? We're selfish in it. You know, oftentimes that we live our own lives for us, and in God's word, the way that you can look at that is we're being selfish. When you give your heart to Jesus, when you give your life to him, stop following your plans, because if you're following your plans, you're not following Jesus. When you follow Jesus, you know that your life is no longer your own. It is now God's, right? I mean, that is all. What a small portion of what we can actually give God. He is literally saving our souls and our spirits from hell, eternity separated from him, fire, gnashing of teeth. We don't even have words for what is taking place in hell. And that he would come and rescue us, that he would come and love us with an everlasting, an agape love, a love that is self-sacrificing, a love that is not conditional, it is unconditional, a love that we could never truly repay him for. And all we can do, the least we could do is say, "God, here is the rest of my life. When I'm walking in that store and you tell me to say something, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to have agape love. I want to love them with your love at this moment." Right? What's awesome is God forgives us of our phileo love, or our lack of love in general. There's nothing that can separate you from God's love, but there are opportunities that you can spread God's love that we're missing out on. We got to reflect. If you're a person of self-reflection, you're going to be a person that people are going to want to be around. If you don't look within the mirror and look within your heart and try to change things, right? Michael Jackson had it right for one time, right? Make that change. You're laughing because you know what song that is. Man in the Mirror. Actually, if you listen to that, there's some like biblical things. You're like, ooh. You ever like watch something secular or whatever, and you're just like, and God just downloads this amazing thing? Or is that just me? Like everywhere I go, I can like see a sermon, right? Like, oh, come on, right? Like, and that's Toy Story, bro. Like, chill out. Oh, God. Kids are crying because of separating from Andy. And I'm like, oh, God. They're going to stand and they're going to, as you get out of that pig trough and you're going to come back, Andy, right? And he's going to put a ring on your finger. Okay, anyway. Throw a party for him. Man, there's so many opportunities that we're missing because we're so self-focused. No more. Let's don't do it anymore. God's love can set us free from ourself, our own denials, our own disruptions, our own problems, our own pain, our own hurt. All these things, they are covered by God's grace and God's forgiveness and his mercy. There is more for us. Our life must be a testimony for what he has done and what he's going to do. People need it. They're dying without it. And sometimes I think we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be accountable to it, that we didn't do something about it. The gift of salvation is free, church, but it will cost you everything. Just like love for Jesus is proven by a life that's living for Jesus. If you're not living for Jesus, I want to ask you that question. Do you love Jesus? Because if you're not living a life for Jesus, the answer is actually no. I'll answer for you. No. No, I love me more than Jesus. I love my idea. I like my bank account more than I love God. I like my job more than God. I like these people more than I like God, because I'm not going to tell them what God actually wants to say. I'm more concerned about what they're going to say. Just like Peter, our lives can be a confirmation or they can be a denial of the connection to Jesus. Getting to the end, church. We need to continue to come back to the cross. Coming back to the cross. Coming back to, that's where the power is, right? Empty tomb, the cross. Cross is where we recognize we need Jesus. The empty tomb is how we get up and we move with Jesus. We got to remember what has been paid for us. We got to lay down our sins, lay down our burdens, and receive Christ's love again. We have to stop abusing grace. We have to stop abusing grace. I'll stand in line first and say, God, I'm sorry. Sorry for what I've made it. You know my struggles. You know my thoughts. You know the wrong things in my life. And I cannot. I've tried it for years. I cannot do it on my own. You're the only one that can set me free. I don't want to abuse the blood that you shed for me. I don't want to abuse the nails that you took for me and the stripes that you took for me. I don't want to abuse. I don't want to live powerless because I don't recognize that you don't live in the tomb anymore. We need to commit fully to his love by loving him back in obedience and with honor. Now, the Bible calls it having a fear of God. We don't understand fear because that's how news makes their money. How they make their money. By the way, did COVID die with Russia attacks? Like, how does that not on the news anymore? It's so weird. If you don't get it now, I'm going to wake you up on something. Okay? I'm going to wake you up on something. They will give you whatever they can so you keep watching. And they're going to feed your fears. So whatever's the scariest thing going on in the world at the moment, I'm not saying that COVID ain't real. COVID's real. I had it. I looked like a weird-looking zombie when I had it. It was weird, right? I was very sick. But whatever is the greatest fear, they will push on you, so you will focus on that. Russia won't always be the problem. There's going to be a new thing. There's going to be a new thing. It'll always be like that. But you can't have a spirit of fear. You have to have love and power and a very important sound mind. Your mind ain't going to be sound if it's not in the Word. Your mind ain't going to be sound if you're hanging around those jokers at work who are all fearful, freaking out about everything. Right? Climate change. Yeah, climate's changing since the moment we sinned. The earth is dying. We all know it. It's in the Bible. Hey, come on. Now, that takes a lot for me to say. I'm from Oregon. We hug trees, okay? I literally have hugged a tree before, but you have to understand that our life is more. There's truth. There's God's grace and His mercy and love. You have to stand on God's truth. When people are preaching fear, you preach love. When people are standing in fear, you remind them that I once was there, but I'm not anymore. I have a different answer. I have a different way to live. We got to forget our old way of life, and we have to follow Jesus. Loving Jesus is not about lip service. It's about kingdom service. To love Him, you have to be a follower and you have to be a student that helps transform the things by the power of God in your life. I want to ask you one more time, and once I ask this question, I want the worship team to come up one more time, please. Once I ask this question, I want to ask you one more time. Do you love Jesus? Then live like it. Amen. Worship team, please come. I want to pray for you today. Oh, what would happen in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, if every Sunday people were filled with the Holy Ghost? People were filled with the power and the presence of the living God. People were reminded of the grace. Thank you, honey. Grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. Oh, what Cedar Rapids would be like if God would fill our mouths like they did in the Bible, and an angel would come and touch our tongues and purify us. Oh, what Cedar Rapids would be like if we'd be filled with the power that raised Christ from the dead, that we would get out of ourselves and get into God's presence, that we'd follow after what He says. And now what we say, oh, what Cedar Rapids would be like when the church would stop being selfish and they would give their life to God and to the lost and to the broken and to the hurting and the ones that are addicted to drugs and the ones that have cancer and sickness and disease. Oh, what Cedar Rapids would be like if somebody would just do this, come and follow me. Oh, what Cedar Rapids would be like. Funny thing, but true. You know, we can be on the back end of a lot of that if other churches would go. Why? Because we go later than other churches. Hallelujah. Right? They're going to plant the seeds. We're going to see the water or the harvest, literally, because we're coming at the end. Hallelujah. Because we go a little longer. But God wants to do amazing things in your life. You have to recognize your life is more than what you have right now. Your life can be greater than what you see right now. In the last days, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, men and women. There's going to be dreams. There's going to be visions, signs, wonders, and miracles. But here's the bad thing about Pentecostals. We always focus on the manifestations instead of the transformation. God wants you to meet Him. I don't care what manifestation you give me, God. I'm going to desire all gifts. But what I want is the power of the living God in my life because I recognize your love. I'm loved by you. I need you. And just do whatever you want through me. That's how it works. And a manifestation will come. It's impossible. It's impossible to be with God and something doesn't happen. It's impossible. It's impossible to meet God and something doesn't happen. I know for a fact, church, that we're not living like we could be living. But God wants us to live with a new power upon our lives. Because of the love of God. Will you stand? I will extend my hands and just pray over you today. The altar will be open if you'd like to come, or whatever you want to do, whatever you have to do. I just don't want you to leave. Just like the Bible says, God, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. If you're here, I'm staying here until you tell me to go. I want us to all hear the voice of God. You got to hear the voice of God. You got to feel His presence. So thankful for God. Are you? Salvation is the beginning. It's the most important. It is the most important. But salvation is not where it stops. It's where it starts. When you're saved, let me tell you, I love it. I love that we believe the whole Bible, right? We believe in salvation, but we also believe in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. To be endued with power from on high, just like 120 in an upper room 2,000 years ago. But you got to ask for it. You got to contend for it. And you have to wait for it. You got to tarry, right? And we got to tarry in here? I'm just playing. You better be a good example, Terry. Well, look at you. No, you got to tarry. Tarry's an old school word for wait, contend, right? Stay. When's the last time you stayed in the presence? So many people I know right now are like, dude, pastor, just shut. Be quiet, right? Be quiet. I got to eat. I got things to do. I got appointments, right? That's part of the problem why you haven't seen a move of God in your life. Not because of me. Right? Yeah, I'm long-winded. It does happen, right? I get in rabbit trails. I tell weird stories, make people laugh. It's just how I am. But here's the thing. You have to wait for God. If you're in a hurry, you're going to miss Him. You're in a hurry, you're going to miss Him. That can happen at your house. That can happen in a Bible study. That can happen on a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night. Whenever you get with other believers, it can happen on your own. But you got to wait. God, I don't want to go anywhere until you touch me, till you heal me, till you set me free, till you give me an assignment. God, I don't have to know all the steps. I just want to know the next step. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be transformed. I don't want to keep looking like Harris. I want to look like Jesus. Right? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your love. It's transformative. It's powerful. It's all that we need. Your love heals us, sets us free. Your love forgives us. It's grace and mercy. It's the power of God. You loved us before we loved you. Your love was evident before the foundations of this world because you slayed, it says in your word, you slayed the Savior of the world. You slayed the Lamb of God before the foundations of the world. You knew and you still chose. I can't get my head around it. But God, will you get my heart around it? Will you teach me that love? I want to have that kind of love. I want to be that kind of person. I want to do those kind of things. I don't want to be afraid. And God, when I mess it up, let me be quick to ask for your forgiveness. When I don't follow the things that you call me to, God, I want to be quick to understand your grace and your mercy. But God, I know that my life is not my own, and I want to live like that because of your love. I want to be like Peter, and I want to swim to the shore. I want to see you again. I want to know that it ain't over yet. It's not over that you're still forgiving me. I want to sit with my Savior. I want to know what He has to say. And if I have to be asked 100 times because I denied you 100 times, I want you to ask me, do you love me? And I want to respond. I want you to reverse those things in my life. You got to reverse my denials with your love. Thank you, God, for your love. I pray that it propels us into the positions, into the places that you called us. Your love is enough. Your love is enough. Your love is what I want. Your love is what I need. Your love is where I'm going to go. Your love is what I'm going to chase. Your love is what I want to be around. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. You are worthy, only you, to be praised. If you believe that, church, say amen.